Our master text is found in Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn there with me. And when you find that, stand up and let's honor the reading of the word this morning. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And in verse 10, he starts by saying, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat if you would. I'm calling this teaching this morning Breakthrough 2019. And you know, very often at the start of each new year, it's not uncommon for leaders in the body of Christ to declare that this is a year of breakthrough, or this is a year of new beginnings, or whatever terminology they use. There's lots of leaders in the body of Christ about this time of the year are making those kind of declarations. And very often we hear those things and then we go on to experience some of the most challenging times that we've ever experienced in the coming year. And if we're not careful, it can make us very cynical and distrusting of the prophetic. So what I want to do this morning is shed a little bit of light on that for you. You know, the Bible does say that we should not despise prophecy, right? But we also have to know what to do with prophecy when we hear it. So 2019, I want you to understand, can be a year of new beginnings, or maybe not. See, there's something about a new year that indeed causes people to reevaluate their lives and their goals and begin turning over a new leaf, if you will. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think there's a lot right with it. We should be evaluating ourselves. We should be looking in the mirror and evaluating ourselves against the Word of God. That's biblical. But just because a prophet declares that it's a year of new beginnings or a year of breakthrough doesn't necessarily mean that you are automatically going to experience it. I believe there are seasons in people's lives, and there's even seasons in nations. So I do believe that there is some legitimacy to declaring a season of breakthrough or whatever in our nation or in our lives. However, I also believe two important truths that are pertinent here. And the first one is this, that breakthrough, ladies and gentlemen, is available every day. Breakthrough is available every day. See, folks, listen, we live in the age of grace. We live in the age of grace. I believe that breakthrough is available every day, all the time, because we live in the age of grace. The scriptures tell us that God's mercies are new every morning, not just at the start of a new year. His mercies are new every morning. Praise God for that. Woo! I don't know where we would be without that kind of mercy that renews itself toward you every single morning. So it's possible to enter a new season of breakthrough every single day. Because of God's mercy, it's possible to enter a new season of breakthrough every single day. Because God's mercy and favor, the scriptures tell us, surrounds us like a shield. Now, let me give you a couple scriptures along those lines to encourage you. First of all, Psalm 5:12 says this, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Isn't that a great promise? How about this one? In Lamentations, I just quoted from it a moment ago, or a portion of it. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 24 says this: "Because of the Lord's loving devotion, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Aren't those great promises? Yes. Praise God. So, folks, listen, you don't have to wait until the first of a new year to turn over a new leaf or experience a new level of favor in God. All you have to do is seek him with all your heart today. Today. And that will position you for greater levels of breakthrough, whether it's New Year's Day or St. Patrick's Day or Independence Day. Amen? Because mercy makes it possible to have a brand new start every single day. Did you have a bad day yesterday? Guess what? Today's a brand new day where his mercies are new today. His mercies aren't just new at the start of a new year. Now, I talked a little bit about fasting last week when we talked about power tools for 2019. And I want to elaborate on fasting a little bit more today because we are in the midst of a church-wide 12-day fast right now. We're right in the middle of it. And so I want to elaborate on this a little bit because one way we're instructed in the scriptures to seek God is with prayer and fasting. You know, regarding fasting, most people are on board with the prayer thing, but fasting, that's another story. You know, however, fasting is one of the three things, if you remember that teaching from last week, fasting is one of the three things that Jesus said on his Sermon on the Mount are three things that are basic expectations of the followers of Christ, the other two being prayer and giving. So fasting, prayer, and giving are the three basic expectations of the follower of Christ, according to Jesus, in the most famous sermon that's ever been preached, the Sermon on the Mount. So on that note then, I just want to give you a little bit of just insight about fasting here as we proceed. First of all, fasting is an expression of humbling ourselves. Now there's a wonderful promise in various places in Scripture which says that God humbles the proud, but what's he do to the humble? He exalts the humble. He exalts the humble. That's right. So fasting is a way that we humble ourselves before God. Likewise, fasting is a form of more focused prayer that's different than our usual times of feasting. How many of you know that our usual daily schedules and our usual times of feasting sometimes can make us very lethargic? You know, one extreme example of that is Thanksgiving. When we all overindulge in Thanksgiving, guess what we like to do? We like to lay down on the couch and just like veg out for a little while and pass out in a hypoglycemic stupor, right? So fasting is a form of more focused prayer, more focused attention on spiritual things that is different than our usual times of feasting. Likewise, fasting is a time for putting aside our usual indulgences and training our bodies to be more responsive to the Spirit of God rather than allowing the cravings of our bodies to dictate our lives. How many of you know that the cravings of your body can dictate your lives? There's an alarm clock in your stomach and you live by that most of the time. It goes off and it says, time to eat. And you say, yes, stomach. And you obey the cravings of your body. But fasting is a way that we tell our body, body, cravings, you're not in control here. My spirit's in control. You are to be subservient to my spirit. And my spirit is subservient to the Spirit of God. So fasting is a way that you crucify the flesh. How many of you know that the Bible says, Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, taking up your cross is a demonstration of crucifying your flesh, crucifying the cravings of your body, crucifying your agenda, your ambitions, and taking upon yourself God's desires for your life, rather than the cravings of your body being under control. So fasting is a way that you discipline your body. See, here's a progression when you start to fast. When you even think about fasting, guess what your body does? It starts to rebel. It's like, no way, I can't fast. As a matter of fact, your body will protest, your mind will protest and say, I can't skip breakfast, or I can't skip dinner. But see, somebody who's endeavoring to walk in the Spirit will then say, okay, so you think you can't skip dinner? How about all three meals in a day? There's no way, I won't even survive that, your body will say. Your body will violently protest sometimes. And when your body violently protests and says, I can't survive even a day without food, okay, make it 2 days. And your body's like, there's no way, we won't make it. At the end of 2 days, you may as well make out your will because it'll be over. And then you say, okay, let's make it 3 days. And then see, your body will begin to learn, if I keep pushing this, we're going to go like a week or 10 days or 40 days and it will be over. So I better shut up while I'm ahead. So your body will begin to learn to obey what your spirit is trying to accomplish in your life, right? So again, fasting is a time of putting aside our usual indulgences and training our bodies to be more responsive to the Spirit of God rather than allowing the cravings of our body to dictate our lives. So a lot of times during a fast, you set aside things like the amount of TV that you watch, or your video games, or maybe Facebook or computer time. You set those things aside, you focus on spiritual things, and guess what? Your body does indeed become more responsive to the Spirit of God when you block out all the noise. Okay? And your body and your mind is focused on spiritual things, and you do become more responsive to the Spirit of God. Yeah, I know fasting isn't fun. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. You discipline your body. Discipline is never fun, but the results are fun. Let me say that again. Discipline, self-discipline is never fun, but the results are fun. You know, once in a while you hear me make a parallel to athletes. The training that athletes put their bodies through, I don't think any of them or a few of them would say, yeah, that was a lot of fun to torture myself the way that I tortured myself leading up to the Olympic event or whatever the event is. They discipline themselves. And that was never fun, but guess what? The results, most of the time, are fun. Yeah, that's right. They enjoy the results of what they put themselves through. That's what fasting does for you. It's never fun, but the results are always good. So it's in this way that we position ourselves to receive more of God's grace and favor. And because we're aligning ourselves with the Spirit of God and allowing Him to more fully have His way in us, guess what? That's what sets you up for breakthrough.
That's right.
Amen. Now, last week, you may remember me sharing this scripture with you, Psalm 37:4, which says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What a wonderful promise. But let's talk about that a little bit so that we more fully understand it. See, when we fast, and again, fasting isn't easy. When we fast, it's a way that we nevertheless delight ourselves in God. This verse says again that He will give us the desires of our heart when we delight ourselves in Him. And that doesn't mean that He's going to give us every selfish, self-serving desire that we have, but when we seek Him in this way, when we delight ourselves in Him in this way, we align our spirits with His, then our desires become His desires, and when our desires become His desires, He grants those desires. Amen. That's what that means. Praise God. So yes, breakthrough is available in 2019, brothers and sisters. But one of the ways that it will come is truly and fully seeking God and delighting ourselves in Him. It's not just going to come just because it's a new year. It's going to come because you seek God. So the second thing I want to point out about breakthrough is that, yes, this could be the year of breakthrough for you. Or it could be just more of the same. This could indeed be the breakthrough year for you, or it could be more of the same. You see, it's been aptly said, I think it was Einstein that actually first said this, that one definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting different results. That's insane. Folks, if you do the same things in 2019 that you did in 2018, guess what? You're going to get similar results. If you want your life to be different, maybe you have to do something different. If you aren't satisfied with the results that you're seeing in your spiritual life, in your family, in your career, well, maybe it's time to make a change. Maybe it's time to do something different. See, that applies to just about every area of our lives. If you're not satisfied with the results that you're seeing spiritually, or even in any of these areas of your life, your family, your marriage, your career, your finances, maybe you need to up your game a little bit. Maybe you need to align yourself with the Spirit of God and His desires. Maybe you need to seek God more in His Word. Maybe you need to know His Word more and declare those promises over yourself. Maybe you need to seek God more in prayer instead of the lazy, sleepy ways that most of us approach prayer. Maybe you need to seek God more in times of intensely seeking Him through times of fasting. Maybe you need to serve more. Maybe you need to serve in your church or in the community. Maybe you need to sacrifice some of your time to expand the kingdom of God and just serve Him, serve people, serve the elderly, serve the homeless, serve in whatever ways that God is inspiring you to serve. Maybe it's time to up your game if you're going to have breakthrough in 2019. See, I want you to understand this truth right here. Don't live your life by a calendar. Don't live your life by a calendar. If things are going to be different, it's because you changed, not the calendar year. If things are going to be different, it's because you changed, not the calendar year. You know, listen, folks, God is in the business of blessing His children. He is in the business of blessing His children. I make no apologies for saying that. But sometimes we have to seek Him with all of our hearts in order to experience more of His presence. And that's exactly what Jeremiah 29 says, isn't it? Okay, let's read that. Let's read that passage in its entirety. We usually like to quote one verse, verse 11 out of that, or sometimes verse 13 or 14. Let's look at that whole passage real quick. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Plans to do what? Prosper you. That means well-being. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. It's not God's desire to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when, there's a condition on it, when you search for me with all of your heart. That implies some effort on our parts. He goes on, I will be found by you when you do that, is the implication. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So yeah, folks, there is breakthrough available in 2019. And listen, every modern day prophet under the Milky Way might be prophesying breakthrough and acceleration in 2019. And yes, I agree that possibility is there for every follower of Christ. But the possibility is also there for you to not experience any of it. Just because a prophet declares this or that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get in on it. It all depends upon how you respond to that prophecy and how you respond to the Spirit of God. A lot of it has to do with you. Some of you have been prophesied over very personally by prophets. You've been in these services before when I prophesied over you, or Greg Jackson, or other people have prophesied over you in different services. That doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to come to pass just because somebody prophesied over you. What you do with that prophetic word and what you do in your responsiveness to the Spirit of God has a lot to do with whether or not or how much you experience that. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Amen. You know, I heard one preacher say that we just need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. And I like that saying. It's a clever little saying that helps us to understand what a lot of people in the body of Christ fail to recognize, which is that we need to position ourselves for greater realms of God's glory, don't we? We need to position ourselves for greater realms of God's glory. That's why it says in James 4:8, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. See, that's positioning ourselves for greater realms of God's glory. We have some responsibility in it too. Amen. Amen. See, he's not just going to come in and knock you off your recliner and show you greater realms of his glory if you're not even seeking him. Right? He responds to people who seek him passionately. Let me say that again. He responds to people who seek him passionately. Now, with that said, I want to say a few more words about fasting here because fasting, once again, is a way that we seek God passionately. Fasting protects us from lukewarmness. You know what lukewarmness is? Lukewarmness is a spiritual condition marked by laziness and apathy. Pay close attention to what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Pay close attention to these words. He said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Other translations of that verse say, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Some Bible commentators say that Jesus was literally saying here in so many words, your apathy makes me sick. It makes me want to vomit. God hates lukewarmness. Make no mistake, God hates lukewarmness. So if you want a greater manifestation of God's favor in this new year, well, you might need to make some adjustments in your heart by seeking him and living for him in ways that far exceed the sleepy ways that many Christians approach their spiritual lives. And one way to do that is with prayer and fasting. Now, let me continue with this. As I said earlier, we're embarking upon a 12-day fast in our church, you know, one day for each month of the year is how we handle that. And some churches at this time of the year, they go on a 21-day Daniel fast. And if you want to extend your fast beyond 12 days and do 21 days, I'm considering doing that myself, then I invite you to do that. But we as a church are doing 12 days of a Daniel-style fast, where it's just basically, you know, vegetables and water, or some sort of a semblance of that. Just as a way to start the new year out and seeking God passionately. And I think that's a great way to start your year, don't you?
Yes.
So I pray that as we embark upon that fast, that we as a church and individuals will say this, I am not going to settle for anything less than all of what God has in mind for me. I'm going to go for it this year. Yes. I'm going to seek him with everything I've got. Why don't we share the attitude of the Apostle Paul when he wrote the words of that master text that we read at the start of Scripture? Let's look at those words again in light of what we've just covered. I'll put it on the screen for you this time. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, let me stop right there before we read on. the fellowship of his sufferings. What could that mean? It could mean saying no to your flesh during times of temptation. That sometimes is uncomfortable. It could mean persecution. That's uncomfortable. But guess what another uncomfortable thing is? Fasting. Fasting. So I wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been perfected, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Listen to the passion in that statement. Listen to the effort that he implies there. Pressing on implies effort on your part. You've been saved by grace, regardless of what you did. You didn't have anything to do with salvation other than the fact that you had to believe it and receive it and then become, according to John 1:12. Believe plus receive equals become. So you did have to believe it, you did have to receive it, but it had nothing to do with your own merits. But you becoming perfected, though, in your faith and as a Christian has a lot to do with you partnering with God. And some of that takes some effort on your part. You press on, as Paul said. And why did he say he was pressing on? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Do you realize what he's saying? He's saying, I want to discover why God called me. Why did God call me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? Why did he call me? What's his purpose for me? He's saying, I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He wants to discover, why am I here? Why did he choose me? I want to discover that. So I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He goes on, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have laid hold of it. He was already in the midst of his ministry, but he knew there was more. So he's saying, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to lay hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Folks, listen, some of you need to forget what was behind in 2018 and 2017 and 16 and beyond. We need to forget what is behind and do what? Instead, strain toward what is ahead in 2019. Straining. There's that word, a word again that implies effort on our part, passion on our part, right? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on, there's those two words again, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. See, there's a prize, there's a reward for you by pressing on and being perfected and fulfilling God's will for your life. There's a reward up ahead. So that's what Paul was looking forward to. I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature should embrace this point of view. Amen. Praise God. You know, I want to talk just a little bit for a few minutes here about the merits of affliction. I know we don't like that word. And where affliction is concerned, I'm not implying that God's going to, you know, strike your kids with cancer to teach you a lesson or wipe out your finances to teach you a lesson. I'm not implying that. I believe that, you know, those things come from the enemy. But there is merits in, if I can put it this way, self-affliction. And what I mean by that is not what some people like Martin Luther, when he was still a priest in the Catholic Church, before he became the great reformer, he would literally flail himself. He would take off his shirt, and on his bare skin, he would take a whip and flail himself till he bled, because that was a way that he believed that he would purge the body of sin. Sometimes he would take off his outer garments and lay his bare skin in the snow, just lay out in the snow until he became nearly numb, because that suffering, he thought, would purge himself of sin. Because the Bible does say that those who suffer in the body are done with sin. But does it mean flailing yourself? Folks, listen, Jesus already took your punishment. You don't have to punish yourself. Jesus already took your punishment. So that's not what that meant. Okay? What is self-affliction? Well, fasting is one way that we afflict ourselves. But let's look at this a little bit deeper. In the book of Lamentations, now this is a little bit of a tougher book to find because it's buried in the the prophetic books in the Old Testament. But if you could turn there, I want to read together this. And if you have trouble finding, well, there should be an index in the front part of your Bible, tell you what page number it's on. So Lamentations chapter 3, I'll give you a second to find that. Yes, right after Jeremiah. Thank you, Donna. If you can find Jeremiah, turn right, and that's where Lamentations is. I want to read to you the lengthier passage of a shorter passage that I quoted a few minutes ago. I want to read that to you in context. So starting in verse 22 of Lamentations chapter 3, it says this, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." Isn't that a great promise right there? But it does imply some effort on the parts of his people in seeking him. See, this echoes a passage that we find in Psalm 126:5 that says, "Those who sow in tears will reap in shouts of joy." Those who sow in tears will reap in shouts of joy. There was once a young Jewish woman that demonstrates that truth right there beautifully. She sought God in prayer and fasting for 3 days. For 3 days, she ate nothing and she drank nothing as she cried out to God for His intervention in a perilous situation. And that young Jewish woman, if you recognize those details that I just gave you, those kind of vague details, but that young Jewish woman's name was Esther. And if you know that story, you know that Esther became queen in a pagan land when the Jewish people were under threat of death. And she called a fast of all the Jewish people living in that region. And she asked that no one eat anything or drink anything for 3 days as they cried out to God to deliver them from this perilous situation and the threat of death. See, they sowed in tears, just like Psalm 126:5 says, they sowed in tears. And because God heard their cries, He came through for them, and they ended up reaping with shouts of joy as they routed their enemies. Amen. Praise God. Folks, listen. Sometimes perilous situations call for drastic measures. I want to say that again. Sometimes perilous situations call for drastic measures. The lazy way that most of us approach prayer is not going to be enough to affect breakthrough in these perilous times. Some of you, in fact, there's actually a few families in our congregation that have had terrible situations with your kids, situations that look like life or death. And folks, I want to say something to you. When the icy glare of death is staring you in the face, it's time maybe to sow in tears by grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar and not letting go until you have your answer. It's passion, folks. And fasting, by the way, is one of the ways that we do that. Grab a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until you have your answer. Hallelujah. Now, folks, I want to start to come to a close here by saying that God is indeed a God of breakthrough. He really is. God is indeed a God of breakthrough. No matter what you faced in 2018, I want to encourage you that your God, Jehovah God, is a God of remarkable breakthrough. And you know what? Sometimes this sense of self-sufficiency that a lot of us have is not always a good thing. Sometimes we have to experience for ourselves the truth of what Jesus stated in John 15 when he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Sometimes we have to experience for ourselves the truth of that, that without him, we can do nothing. We have nothing, we can offer nothing. Everything that we have, everything that we offer is from him. So listen, if your back is against the wall right now, I have a revelatory truth for you. If your back is against the wall right now, that might actually be the best place in the world for you to be right now, because it forces you to stop being so self-sufficient and look up and realize that by yourself you can't do a thing, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Wasn't it Paul that said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me"? Amen. He allows us to go through anything and to do all things that we need to do at the time, through Christ who strengthens us. Folks, as a final word here, I can't promise you that you're not going to have some degree of challenges and disappointments in 2019. As a matter of fact, I can practically guarantee you that you're going to have a few of those. Okay? But there is a mighty God who is on your side. And no matter what happens, he is there to make sure that you go through it and come through it and still be okay. Praise God. Listen, did you know that God has an emergency number, by the way? And it's not 911. But God does have an emergency number, and it's 333. Let me show that to you. Jeremiah 33:3 says this: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." If your back's against the wall, maybe it's time to dial the emergency number. 333, Jeremiah 333, remember that. Call to me and I will answer you. Now that call to me doesn't imply, "Oh God, would you please help me? Amen." It means passionate prayer, seeking God with everything that you have. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Listen, folks, all throughout the Bible, there's a common thread. And that's that the people of God often face impossible situations. But that's where the God of the impossible breaks in and sets the people of God on a high place when they are seeking him with all of their hearts. The God of the impossible can come in and do the impossible and set your feet upon a high place again when you seek him with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. God loves you so much. As I was driving in here this morning, I was just struck by how much God loves his people. And he doesn't have in mind for you, if you're facing a perilous situation right now, listen, I believe if you're in a frustration mode right now, if you're in a time of frustration, I believe that sometimes frustration comes simply because we don't have the right mindset, we're not thankful enough, we're focusing only on the wrong things, not the right things. But sometimes we're in a transitional stage in our lives where God's moving us out of the wilderness into our promised land. And sometimes that's a holy frustration that we have. We're anticipating God moving us into the promised land, and we're in that transitional mode. I want you to understand God has not abandoned you if you're in a wilderness right now. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to be the God of the impossible in your life and break in and do the impossible. So trust Him. Seek Him with all of your heart and obey Him. And when you draw more near to God in 2019, I believe you will find that God will draw more near to you. I want to say that last line again, and then we're going to pray. When you draw more near to God in 2019, I believe that you'll find that He will draw more near to you in 2019. But it requires some passion on our parts, folks. Doesn't it? Requires a little bit of effort and passion on our part. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, please.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.